Good day to you. This is Bill Woods, and I wanted to talk to you a little bit today about several things. First, I hope you had a marvelous Thanksgiving. I hope that you took time away from the football and away from the dinner for a brief time anyhow to thank God for all the blessings that He's given to you and the fact that we live in a country where we still can worship and still thank God. I think we need to pray about that because of some of the things that are happening. But right now, you and I can just go ahead and read our Bibles and pray, and I thank God for that. After Thanksgiving, usually people will start thinking about Christmas pretty heavily, and that's what I want to do now. I want to talk about the dummies missed Christmas. Hebrews 9:27 through 28 says, "And just as each person is destined to die once, and after that, that comes the judgment, so also Christ died once for all time as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many people. He will come again, not to deal with our sins, but to bring salvation to all who are eagerly waiting for him." It was Christmas in Bethlehem, the very first Christmas, the Christmas that started all Christmases. Such a wonderful event was too much for heaven to hold back. An angel choir broke through the mystic intervening veil and burst into joyous caroling. Now, I know the Bible doesn't say the angels sang, but I know that in other places we are told that there will be much rejoicing and singing among the angels. So we just take for granted that there was an angel choir and it was a wonderful thing to see. What praise those shepherds must have heard. There's never been such a concert before or since. Think how it must have sounded echoing through the sky and the valleys and stuff. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. But history's most wonderful event passed almost unnoticed. The multitudes slept through that wonderful night. There are four things to notice about this wonderful event. One, the world missed its first Christmas. Too many should have recognized it was Christmas. Three, why they missed it. And four, that Christmas is a lot like what's happening today. So let's talk about these things. The world missed its first Christmas. Only a few people even knew it was Christmas, 12 or 15 at the most. The rest of the people slept through that wonderful night. You know, it's easy to get so set in our routines that we miss many wonderful things around us. I remember when we lived in Grand Coulee, Washington, and people would come and they would look at the Grand Coulee Dam and they'd say, "Oh, isn't that marvelous? Look at that spillway and all the wonderful things." And at night, the water would be gushing down. They would put lights on it. It would be gorgeous. But the people that lived there in Grand Coulee just took that for granted. They would drive up and down the road past the dam, not even look at it sometimes, just because they were so used to seeing it. When we lived in the Columbia Gorge, it was the Multnomah Falls and all the other falls up and down the spectacular gorge and all the wonderful views and stuff. And people got so they just kind of took it for granted. Didn't stop to think about what the other people were looking at. They just, if somebody got in their way while they were trying to go someplace, they would get irritated about all these tourists that are in here being in the way. In Seattle, it was the Space Needle, Mount Rainier, the Puget Sound, and people just kind of took all these things for granted. I read years ago by Pastor Fletcher Spruce how he had gone to visit Bethlehem. And to him, it was a moment never to be forgotten, while to the men who lived there, it was nothing special. There were several, that night when Jesus was born, there were several thousand in Bethlehem and hundreds of thousands in Palestine, but only a few shepherds, a few wise men, and two old prayed-up saints knew anything out of the ordinary was happening. They just kind of were caught up in their own routines and not paying much attention. We do that today. Number two, that many should have recognized it was finally Christmas. They should have been watching for him. The Jews had the books of Moses and the writings of the prophets, and they'd been taught to respect and study these writings since they were children. They were to teach them to their children. Genesis told about man's fall into sin and how God promised to send a Messiah to bruise the serpent's head. They knew the promise given to Abraham, which said, "In thee and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed." They had the record of Jacob's special blessing given to his son Judah, Genesis 49:10. "The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from his descendants, until the coming of the one to whom it belongs, the one whom all nations will honor." Isaiah had written in Isaiah 7:14, "All right then, the Lord himself will give you the sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. He lived in a dark day, but he could see beyond that darkness, and he wrote Isaiah 9:6, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and his peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen." The prophet Micah named the very town where the Messiah would be born. Micah chapter 5 verse 2 says, "But you, O Bethlehem Ephratah, are only a small village among all the people of Judah. Yet a ruler of Israel will come from you, one whose origins are from the distant past." Daniel gave the time of the Messiah's coming, Daniel 9:25. "Now listen and understand, seven sets of seven plus 62 sets of seven will pass from the time the command is given to rebuild Jerusalem until a ruler, the anointed one, comes. Jerusalem will be rebuilt with streets and strong defenses despite the perilous times." Even if there was some uncertainty as to the exact date, the time was so near that the Jews should have been on the alert. It was 483 years, if you did the math. We know they had access to that information because they looked it up for Herod. Why did they miss it? How were they so blind that they didn't recognize Jesus, their Messiah? Well, the scribes and Pharisees missed him because they'd substituted legalism for spirituality and ceremonialism for spiritual vital experience with God. They were self-righteous and complacent and didn't even feel a need of a Savior at that time. They missed him because they weren't looking for him. The innkeeper missed him because of material interests. He was more interested in renting his rooms when all the people were coming in and making as much money as he could. Millions today are missing Christmas for that same reason. Wicked old Herod said he was interested in finding Jesus. And you know the story how the wise men showed up at the palace and they said, "Where is the King of the Jews?" And Herod was so cruel and so jealous for his throne. I'll talk to you later in the season about Herod. But he wanted to kill the little baby. And so he told the wise men, he said, "You tell me where he is. You go find him. Tell me where he is. I'll come worship him." He didn't want to worship him. He wanted to kill him because he didn't want to have the competition. Herod didn't find him because of selfishness and insincerity. Well, what made the difference between those who found and those who didn't find the Savior? Simeon and Anna found the baby Jesus because they were looking for him. Faith is the key if we are to find Christ. Faith in God. If we are to find the true meaning of Christmas, we must get beyond the billions of dollars commercialized, tension-filled holiday season that the average non-Christian celebrates. The shepherds found Jesus because of their simplicity and humility. God loves some simplicity and sincerity. God hates sophistication and pretense. The door to the Nativity, I understand, never been to Bethlehem, would like to sometime, but the door to the Nativity is so low that everyone has to bow to get in there. If you, no matter if it's somebody in high esteem or very low esteem, somebody who is a servant or a ruler, they have to bow their heads and bow to get through the door and inside. That says an awful lot to me, that if we're going to come to Jesus, we have to bow now too to him. Mary found Christmas by an unquestioning submission to God's will and purpose. It's God's greatest gift to men that made Christmas. God was expressing his love and forgiveness to all who will accept his plan of salvation. God revealed his fathomless love through a person, his son, Jesus Christ. I remember last year or 2 years ago, I was in Home Depot, and there was a lady there that was saying, without Christ, what are they celebrating? And I agree, what is the world celebrating if they don't celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ? The true spirit of Christmas is a spirit of unselfish giving. Christ gave his all. Too often our giving is calculated on what we can get back. You know, I don't know if I want to give Aunt so-and-so a present this year because all she sent me last year was a handkerchief. And I don't know if I want to spend that much money on her if I'm going to get such cheap gifts. Well, shame on us for that kind of thinking. That first Christmas was a lot like today. With all the Bible warnings of Christ's first coming, most people missed it. Scripture warns that he's coming again. I hope you don't miss it. There are 578 references to his second coming in the Bible. 260 of them are in the Old Testament and 218 in the New Testament. Jesus Christ's return is mentioned 50 times in the epistles. One out of every 23 verses in the Bible mentions his return. Jesus Christ is coming again. Don't miss him like they missed him the first time around. There are indications that suggest Christ's return to restore Israel and establish his millennial reign may be in the very near future. These are Israel's return to the land promised to her in 1948, the lawlessness that is abounding in our world today, the apostasy will be well entrenched. We are told that in the last days men will fall away from Christ, and the religious appetite for an ecumenical one-world church, which is being basically set up right now, we'll go into that a little later, the rapid physical decline of the world by war, earthquakes, and potential human annihilation, of which all will require Christ's return before these events run their determined course and bring the world to an end. While it is true that many awful things are happening today, and many awful things will happen during the tribulation, they don't compare to the awful things, you know, that are still to come during that great tribulation. I said they were happening during the tribulation, but I was trying to say we see so much happening today that we can't even begin to compare what's going to happen when finally Satan and his Antichrist are running the world. Matthew 24:21 says, for there will be greater anguish than at any time since the world began, and it will never be so great again. Revelation 1:7, look, he comes with the clouds of heaven, and everyone will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the nations of the world will mourn for him. Yes, amen. Revelation 22:12-13 says, look, I am coming soon, bringing my reward with me to repay all people according to their deeds. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Peter speaks of his coming and warns about scoffers being in the last days. 2 Peter 3:3. Most importantly, I want to remind you that in the last days, scoffers will come mocking the truth and following their own desires. James 5:8 says, you too must be patient. Take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near. The Apostle Paul warned us in 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. But now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God. First, the Christians who have died will rise from their graves. Then those with them who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage each other with these words. Paul adds to this in 1 Corinthians 15:51 through 53. But let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever, and we who are living will be transformed. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Isn't that a wonderful promise here that we are getting old and our joints are aching and hurting and everything? We get a new body one of these days that will last for all eternity. Jesus came the first time over 2,000 years ago, just like God said he would, and most people missed it. God said he's coming a second time. Most people will miss that one too, don't you? I want to read something that I found. It's called, "'Twas the Night Before Jesus Came." "'Was the night before Jesus came, and all through the house, not a creature was praying, not one in the house. Their Bibles were laying on the shelf without care, in hopes that Jesus would not come there. The children were dressing to crawl into bed, not once ever kneeling or bowing a head. And Mom in her rocker with Babe on her lap was watching the late show while I took a nap. When out of the east there arose such a clatter, I sprang to my feet to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters, and threw up the sash. When what to my wondering eyes should appear but angels proclaiming that Jesus was here. With a light like the sun sending forth so bright ray, I knew in a moment this must be the day. The light of his face made me cover my head. It was Jesus returning, just like he said. And though I possess worldly wisdom and wealth, I cried when I saw him in spite of myself. In the book of life which he held in his hand was written the name of every saved man. He spoke not a word as he searched for my name. When he said, it's not here, my head hung in shame. The people whose names had been written with love, he gathered to take to his Father above. With those who were ready, he rose without a sound, while all the rest were left standing around. I fell to my knees, but it was too late. I had waited too long, and this sealed my fate. I stood and I cried as they rose out of sight, oh, if only I had been ready tonight. In the words of this poem, the meaning is clear. The coming of Jesus is drawing near. There's only one life, and when comes the last call, we'll find that the Bible was true after all. You know, only those who know Christ as their personal Savior and are watching will know it happened and will go to be with him for all eternity. The dummies were so preoccupied that first Christmas that they missed the birth of Jesus Christ, the coming of the Lord. The dummies today will miss his second coming and be left behind. What about you? Do you know Jesus Christ? When he comes again for his church, will you be part of it? You can. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a wonderful Christmas it would be if you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I would encourage you, let Jesus Christ come into your life. Ask him to forgive your sins. Tell him that you want to live for him. pray and tell him that you're thankful that he's your Savior. You accept him as your Savior, and you want to be part of his kingdom. And Jesus Christ will answer that prayer. I want to have a word of prayer with you. Dear Father, thank you so much today for the meaning of Christmas. It's not just tinsel and gifts and trees and elves and Santa. But Lord, the real meaning is the fact God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God, I pray that we today, I and the people that are listening to this broadcast, will accept you as their personal Savior and receive everlasting life and be able to be with you in heaven for all eternity. God, when we think of the alternative, hell forever and ever and ever, it's terrifying. But thank you, Lord, that you cared enough to come and save us from our sins. I pray your blessing upon the people who are listening today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I thank you so much for being able to come and visit with you. I want to mention something to you if you're interested. My book, There's Still Power in the Blood, is now being put online and can be downloaded from online for 99 cents. It's going to be on Facebook and on BookBub, and it'll be there for 30 days from November 26th, which I felt like was my birthday present, until December 25th. People can download the book that I had written, There's Still Power in the Blood. And I would recommend that to you. It deals with spiritual warfare. It deals with how to live victorious for Jesus Christ. And I would recommend you find that and download that and read it for yourself. God bless you. And I will try to talk to you later. I hope as you get ready for Christmas, you don't forget the meaning of Christmas. You don't get caught up in all the festivities that forget Jesus Christ. Now, I know that we don't know with this pandemic what's going to happen, but I do know that you can make room for Christ in your heart because he made room for you in his kingdom. God bless you, and talk to you later.